This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
You're going to sneak away in your dad's suitcase?
I guess.
Can't come to another AR?
Well, it's in the middle of my school year, so...
No! Oh! I don't know what I can do to fix that other than getting you out of school for the day or the weekend.
My dad leaves, like, Wednesday and comes home, Tuesday.
Oh, man. That's all right. We'll give you plenty of reports. We'll report in a lot from AR so you know what's going on.
Make it happen over the summer.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of things going on during the summer, though. A lot of other shows and stuff.
Make it happen at, like, the very beginning of August.
The very beginning of August.
But before August 10th.
Right after Joe Fest.
Okay, good point. You could put it, like, right before Joe Fest.
You could.
People get home, and then it's like, oh, it's time to go to Joe Fest the next day.
I'm really excited to finally have had Brian Sauer of Codename Iowa on with Joel and I. It was a fantastic conversation. Probably wouldn't have stopped if it wasn't after midnight for all of us. Assembly Required is Codename Iowa's November show in Des Moines, Iowa. This year, they've grown a lot. They've added a Friday night, a customizing class, role-playing games, and so much more. November 4, November 5, be in Des Moines, Iowa. You will not regret coming to this show. It's incredible. This is their 11th Assembly Required. This is also the team that brought you Armor over the last couple years with COVID. So you know what they put on, what they do, what they put in their gearboxes is quality. You're going to enjoy this episode. Brian is incredible to talk with. Thank you, Brian, for coming on. Can't wait to clink glasses in November.
Well, and I think having the official 2 days this year helps with a lot of decision-making for people, because while we unofficially had that Friday for a couple things, but now actually having some programming, having the show floor open early on Friday night, and then I think for vendors too, the idea that you have a 6-hour window or an 8-hour window to load in seemed to attract some more vendors to the parties. I'm fully prepared for that day that we go 3 days, for that day we throw on a full Sunday. Oh, man. Yeah, the vendors thing is crazy. The vendor tables. When I went to this space, because we had a little problems with last year's space, I knew that this space was going to be a little bit of like, hey, we're going to grow into this. I did not expect us to grow into it this year. I expected us to take a few years to grow in and take it over. So depending on, again, like I said, how this year goes, how well it's received, and, you know, eventually, I mean, this is the big daddy of convention centers in Iowa. So this one we've got, I don't know what we'd have to be to run out of room in this place. Plenty of room for the future.
Kind of dope.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Well, it was always like, oh, this is a small show. Like, there's good shit there because of who does vendor, but it's not like the gross amount of like a larger show.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the good rare shit. Now it sounds like you're putting your foot in that pool as well, which is nice. Gets people coming.
We still have a lot of creators, a lot of people making their own custom products.
It's your bread and butter.
A fair amount of 3D printers and stuff like that, and custom guys and that stuff. But we just now added some couple bigger toy vendors and guys who are cleaning out their closets, getting rid of some of their extra stuff, which is great. think somebody said something about bringing in a bunch of convention exclusives. They were paring down, so.
That's what I mean. Like, every year I've been there, they've gotten high dollar, high end, oh shit, I haven't seen this in years kind of thing. And all the creators, like, that is very much the bread and butter, right? I've already been on record a few times about, like, the two or three guys that really pushed me to start showing up to AR, you know. They sold it as the Small But Mighty, and now the Small But Mighty is growing. So I know this is the 11th year. Is this the 10th show or the 11th show? And
this is going to be the actual, the 11th annual. I say, you know, Codename Iowa, we've been, you know, like, basically 13 years have been around. It's my marketing background, wanting to put an entity at the top of our shows so we could do multiple shows. So we can do an armor, we can other things down the road. And it's not like, oh, who, wait, what are you? It's meant to be something a little bit broader, a little way, another way to just kind of create a hierarchy in the system so that we can, you know, do that stuff. And I also know full well that I may be the head clown in the clown car, but I'm definitely not the one always driving. And so, like, anybody can take their turn at driving if they really want to. But it's fun.
Well, you already have a pretty tight crew of four or five of you that do all of this. Last year, you were Ninja Force. The time before COVID, you were Night Force. You've done Tiger Force as well. One of the things that I kind of preached the minute I went to my very first Assembly Required, I come from a comics background, so I have been to shows with 50 and 60, 70, 100,000 attendees, and your signage is on par or better than that. And so this year, just looking at your store where you have a Friday Night Fan package, you have a custom class, you have the gear kits already up there, it looks very based on the early years of the comics, not really on a subset or a sub-team from, you know, one of the 13 years. So what is this year's theme?
This year's theme is just about honoring 40 years of a real American hero. I'd like to say every year is pretty self-serving for me in one way or another. This one, though, is just really what I want to celebrate are a lot of those key moments in the brand history that really excited me and propelled me. Not to make the show all about me, a lot of the inspiration for the theme was I'm a 1982 straight arm kid who got Zap and Flash for my first two characters. I had the Flak, like those were the first things I got. I remember discovering the comic book around issue 13 and how I had to go back and collect all the other issues and then all that kind of stuff. And so for me, it's all those like formative years that I love about it and that are so like just vibrant, and there's so much character building, and it really is. And the fact that there's nobody doing anything really about the 40 years of G.I. Joe.
Not really.
We get a logo from Hasbro, we get a couple nods on a couple things, but we don't have like we're not having this like fantastic 40th anniversary packaging. We're not getting a chance to come together and really celebrate. We're not having anything where we're calling out and honoring, you know, the men and women who developed this line for us. And so, and we actually had a different theme for this year that was, I would say, fairly well developed, which we'll see hopefully next year if I don't change my mind again. I really did. I felt like, wow, this is kind of weak. Like, we're not, like, blowing this out. And I want to have a 40th anniversary cake at dinner on Friday. So like, again, I love cake, but no,
don't forget about the silver coin.
I know. Yeah. Right.
How could you forget about this triumphant celebration?
Yeah. For us, it's, this is so influential in not just early child development and understanding like how play patterns are and imagination is, but then again, as adults, the brand itself has gotten me to make like some of my best adult friends I ever had. And I've got a bunch of them from across the country, if not across the world, that I might get to see once or twice a year. But when you do, you just pick right up where you left off. It's not even a second thought. there is something to be said about the overall impact that this brand has had on people. For me, I got out in 87. After that, there's all sorts of rediscovery. There's the stuff that went on in the early 2000s, Venom versus Venom, Sigma Six, like all those other things and a couple other I don't want to mention. But like there's all that other stuff that's just cool. And it's a complete rediscovery. And it is a complete awe that, oh, man, I can't believe that I was, you know, I felt like I was too old for toys. And I should have bought this when I was a kid. Like I remember looking at it at KB thinking, oh, this is kid stuff. I'm not going to play with this.
And here you are.
Here I am with it surrounded in a room full of it. So, yeah.
Well, now that you mention all these other things, I don't want to rush things, but I am looking forward to the fact that Assembly Required is continuing to grow and will grow until you're forced to do a DTC-themed Assembly Required.
I think actually, I mean, again, for a while we were going on year by year, and then we started doing the teams from that year. And now we're like, whatever sounds like fun that we can build a real theme around, and that there's things to explore, both from a, this is the toys we got, to this is what happened behind the scenes, to this is how this was portrayed in different media. Because for me, our show is obviously different, but what makes it different is that I don't just plan a kind of an exchange show or a marketplace show. I come from event planning space and event planning type of things. And so I want to make sure that you do get that experience to the sales floor. Very important. I'm not knocking it. But what I'm saying is that I like everything else around it. It's that what's going to keep you occupied for 8 or 9 hours that isn't going to just be looking at the same figure over and over again. How do you bring family members and keep them engaged when they're not avid collectors? How do you keep the 50-year-old man who's been collecting from day one entertained? So you need to do those kinds of things to it. And it needs to be about that presentation of the venue space, the presentation you get when you buy something, or the presentation when you are interacting with anything that the Codename Iowa team is responsible for. We want to make sure that this is an experience, a delivery that you're not going to get anywhere else. And again, that's my marketing background. That's my advertising. That's my whole thing about how we treat people and focus on it. So we have an agenda. We have a Friday paid day that, you know, that we haven't done before, that some people will look at and say, I can't afford it. No problem. No problem at all. Saturday, still free. Everything on Saturday is free. Show up for cartoons and cereal before, don't have to pay a dime. Walk in that door at 10 o'clock, don't have to pay a dime. Get your grand prize ticket, no charge. You know, we're still doing the kids thing for free. That's the idea. We're going to try as long as I humanly possibly can not to charge for a weekend sales floor. Keep that free. Two things. I want looky-loos. I want people to come and discover. I want people who drive down the street and see a banner for a G.I. Joe show and just walk in and say, check it out, go discover your childhood again. And two, I don't want that money in my pocket. I want that money to go to a vendor. I'd rather see it go to making them happy, get them back. This is their business. This is my hobby. This is what I want to do for fun.
With your background as a designer, and you're throwing these shows where you're setting the theme, and this year specifically, because it's a theme of 40 years, you're probably deep diving into the 40 years of G.I. Joe, the logos, the themes, the storytelling in a completely different manner than I would. That is compelling to me. I know you said it based on like what spoke to you and built you as not just a kid, but as an adult. You're mining a lot of stuff. How was that process?
Oh, wow. It's a lot of going back and rediscovering things. I mean, the comic book stuff, luckily I've got a complete collection of it digitally, so that helps a lot to go through and really to start with the big stuff. So let's take the red, white, and blue posters that are focusing on the 82 characters, because, you know, obviously that's the beginning. That's the start of it all. It's a way to honor those legacy characters, those legacy folks. that is true to be truly the beginning. So I figured that works for a great aesthetic for the posters and handbills and some of the internet graphics, some of the things we use on the websites, some of the stuff we use on social. And then as far as going with the comic book motif, where basically I'm filling that in as for all our social, that allows me to cover a big berth of history. And to isolate out certain panels and frames out of those pages, and you look at them like you don't normally, like you wouldn't normally look at them. You don't normally like just zoom in on one frame from G.I. Joe issue 28 and say, oh, look at that. What's captured in that box? And so luckily there is so much of that stuff to go through that finding photos that relate to the subject matter or imagery that is not very difficult. There is something in there. The one that it was what Cobra Commander, Dr. Mindbender, were in front of that whole weapon sales thing. I think that was where the issue where they introduced Python Patrol. Like that panel, I don't know how many times I've read that issue and never really paid attention to it until I was going through it one day and I just saw that big sale. Oh, well, that's perfect for this. Like, I never really paid attention to that detail before. And so for me, a lot of it is still rediscovery. But yeah, it is a little daunting with everything you could pull from. But again, I think of like where the story went. And last year was heavy on the cartoons. This year I'm going to be heavy on the comic books. I'm going to be, you know, I keep kind of wanting to switch it up from year to year for when people look back on it to make sure that they say, oh, yeah, it's distinct. It's different. Like the a lot of similar design elements, a lot of the similar, like, I say hierarchy, but when you look at them year after year after year, it's like you remember it based on that theme. People aren't saying, oh, man, I loved, you know, the show in 2015. They're saying, I love that Tiger Force year. That Tiger Force year was the best year. Oh, I remember this. I remember Chris dressed up as Tiger Force Hit and Run. I remember having the tower there from The Finest. Like, that's how people should remember it. It's like based on their theme. And if we hit on your favorite theme and we hit on your favorite character, fantastic. We'll have posters and stickers and other things to grab up. But for me, like Ninja Force, total new discovery for me. Like I have some of the characters. I had some of the stuff. But like for me to sit down and start designing and looking at those, start illustrating those and referencing things, I got a whole new appreciation for that beyond the neon colors. Well, I got past the colors. I got to the character. I got to the design. And I thought, wow, if you would have just dialed it back a little bit, it would have been crazy. But then again, it was just a sign of the times. It was exactly what was going on at the time. And it was exactly to combat the Ninja Turtles and all what was happening in the culture at that time. And so it's a good milestone.
One of the things I love that you just brought up was every show has a Saturday morning breakfast cereal component, right? You were doing it as the vendors were setting up, but now if they're going to set up on Friday, maybe the vendors can join us for cereal instead of work during cereal. A couple years ago, you were at a different location that had stadium seating, and it was amazing. Last year, we were all in folding chairs, but there's four or five cereals. There's milk, cheap bowls, cheap spoons, sugary shit cereal that we all loved as kids, that we none of us should eat as adults. And we're watching cartoons. It's incredible. Joe Declassified, they always put on a panel. When you talk about Ninja Force, last year's Ninja Force panel was so in-depth. And I like Ninja Force. Holy shit. Like, it was beyond anything I had even considered with Ninja Force, concept with Ninja Force. And all the panels seem to be in that sort of vein. It's not just a panel of 15 people sitting in a room, half-assed paying attention, playing on their phone while somebody nervously talks up front. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the people in the room are friends, last year's RoboSkull panel was half heckling, half panel. It's very interactive. The panel rooms are full, fun, as well as informative. To watch Troy go through the modern process that most of us don't know as well as we know the 80s process. We know the 80s process this well because we're friends with Kirk and Ron, and we're friends with Dan Klingensmith, who has put out the books. and Carson, who has made all the documentaries. You've done all that. And then with the way you come at signage and everything else, like, your t-shirts are kind of my favorite of any show I've ever been to, comic or otherwise. And I don't own 12 t-shirts from a single show, except for yours. And I missed the first 7 years of your show. So the shirt you're wearing right now, I've worn to nightclubs. I've worn that out to dance in. And I've gotten compliments on that shirt without them having any idea what it is. It just works. You know, the Ninja Force ones were fun. You also do stickers. You do other things. There's always 3D printed material, I guess. There's so much going on at this show.
Should we talk about the guest that hasn't been announced yet?
I mean, it's your show, man.
I know. This is very exciting for me personally. I'm very excited for this because I felt like this is a get of a lifetime on a year that...
It's the perfect year for it.
Yeah, it's the year to celebrate this man and his work and what he's achieved. So, we've got Ron Rudat coming out for the show this year. I believe this is the first time he's ever been to Iowa. Very excited. You know, I've met the man a few times. I've got a few of his sketches and stuff. I had a commission done or two. We had a very romantic table for two at the Outback during Joe Fest. just a funny story about that. Where we got to talking and knowing each other a little bit better and stuff. And so for me, he's always been the one I wanted for this year, especially when we were doing the honoring the 40 years.
He made the Cobra logo.
That's a whole nother nerd out you want on me. I can go days on that. But this guy, this is the man who literally set the groundwork, laid down the template, who built the modern era G.I. Joe and these modern era characters. You know, I don't want to take anything away from the 12 inch guys. I love the old school 12 inch Joes. I've got a handful of them. I'm very proud of those toys. But what this is the first time G.I. Joe had individual characters. It's, you know, he's kind of the, I don't know, Jack Kirby to Stan Lee in this case, right? Like, he's the one who came up with the designs and the looks and put down that whole aesthetic. Credit due to Larry Hama for filling out the words and the personalities. But, like, honestly, like, Snake Eyes, goggles, black mask, dude, seriously, that's one of the most recognizable character designs in the past, what, 50 years?
Absolutely.
Iconic. I just don't think that the average bear thinks about that stuff in that way. Scarlet, Storm Shadow, like all these characters that he designed that are just so iconic that have gone through so many iterations and so many things. I was having a discussion with somebody at the comic book store about comic books, and it dawned on me that G.I. Joe is not necessarily a military toy or a fashion line or anything like that. This is superhero territory. We're not necessarily, you know, tights and flights, but they are very much in that same kind of iconic costumed hero characters and villains.
Yeah.
That who doesn't know what a Cobra logo is? Who doesn't know what Cobra Commander looks like? Who doesn't recognize as soon as they see a ninja in white, they're not going to say Storm Shadow? That's the iconic cultural relevance of this. So for me to have Ron at our show, whether he enjoys the gushing or not, this guy, I owe a lot of, you know, a lot of my personal inspiration, a lot of my personal choices, good and bad, as far as career goes and stuff like that. Dude, like you said, he designed the Cobra logo, the Cobra logo. I've been at professional conventions with other famous logo designers and graphic designers, and I swear the Cobra logo comes up every so often.
Really?
And it's not me bringing it up. It is like literally people talking about, like, oh, yeah, talk about iconic icons that you can see and get and stuff like that. And like the Cobra logo, like that one there, that's synonymous. Somebody I know who's a semi-famous designer who talks about a story about how his buddy got served papers from Hasbro for having a hot dog stand called Cobra Dog. And he was pilfering the Cobra logo. And so then he talked about the struggles he had to try to create an original logo with the name Cobra Dog on it without like completely, you know, ripping off or stealing or getting in more trouble again for copying that very, very beautiful, iconic little Cobra logo. So
when you and I talked about the Cobra logo last, like I had mentioned how simplistic that logo is, and yet nobody can draw it correctly.
Right.
It's such an amazing thing. It's so difficult to draw, but you look at it and it's so simple.
Yes. Well, it's clean lines. It's simple. It's all those things that you look at when I do a little bit of teaching and mentoring and stuff like that. But it's the reproductive quality, the fact that you can make it really small, you can make it really big. The fact that it's got this great positive and negative space that works beautifully either way. And the fact that it's perfectly mirrored, it really does check a lot of those classic motifs. And, you know, people have gone along over the years and tried to make subtle updates or to add some extra stuff to it, but it always keeps coming back down to that original design.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. So,
you know, Ron is one of those guys that he and Kirk and Bill and all these guys, they were our childhood heroes. We didn't know their names at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, a lot of us, we see them regularly, not regularly as in, you know, on our way to the supermarket, but once or twice a year. The fact that Ron like knows my son is mind blowing to me, even though it's been a couple years. But it does. It feels like we're walking among, you know, the greats, and it's really kind of neat. I'm excited that he's coming, but the fact that he's, you know, in his 70s and Hasbro's bringing him back for a piece, he's doing stuff for a couple other lines right now. You know, the man's got work.
Oh yeah,
and you can also get commissions from him.
Yeah, that's my next email to him. It's because I want him to bring me a commission. Because I. It's so great. Like you said, these, you got to remember that the 80s, even into the 90s and a little bit of the 2000s and further back, these creators, these are just desk jobs to them. These are just 9-to-5 jobs. Their artwork, their creativity wasn't valued beyond whatever that toy would sell in the store. And so a lot of that early work, a lot of the, like you said, like, the ideas, the innovations that have driven these brands, I mean, arguably driven whole companies for decades on top of decades. And unfortunately, victim of the times, they don't see any of those residuals. They don't see the admiration. They're not a household name among the fans. I think it's important for us as a community to not only, you know, champion the current creatives, but also the past creatives, the ones who've really set everybody else up for this to work on these wonderful brands. I mean, it goes to, you know, think about Turtles, Power Rangers, you know, Star Wars, Transformers, you know, all these lines that keep continuously getting reimagined and put back out. Like, somebody had to sit down with the pen and pencil literally years and years and years ago and sketch out those first ones and figure out what those were going to be. Somebody had to start from scratch. Nobody said, hey, dude, make version 185 of Snake Eyes this week. And I, going back to it all, I got to give it up to Ron, as Ron being the linchpin for the brand. And, you know, I don't want to take anything away from like what Kirk did, what the rest of the marketers did, because I've obviously got great respect for all that stuff. But honestly, without the product, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, even Larry turned Ranger into Stalker, but he had to be given the Ranger.
Right. Hopefully, I don't get this gushy when Ron's in the room. I might.
Oh, God, I hope you do. And I hope Ben is there to capture it, because Ben seems to be good at capturing grown men tearing up.
I mean, and I know there'll be plenty of people, but if nobody else, you know, gets a kick out of him, at least I will have that pleasure and that enjoyment of, you know, annoying him with all these wonderful compliments. Yeah, super excited about that.
That's fantastic.
But we should talk about the other Ron, because there's going to be two Rons.
Oh, is he coming back?
Two Rons for the price of one. Well, I mean, there really isn't much of a price, but not for everybody else. But Yeah, Ron Wagner, you know, the famous G.I. Joe comic book artist, Marvel, DC, I mean, you name the character, he drew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a local, and he is not as afraid of COVID this year, and so he's going to show up again.
Excellent, excellent. I missed getting a commission from him last year because he wasn't around, and that's kind of the thing that we can talk about with just Des Moines in general, is you can see his artwork out and about. Eat under a zombie mural.
Yeah. He's been able to do a lot of work around town and contribute to the landscape, which is pretty awesome. So if I would say there's one thing that this show emulates from Des Moines, like just Des Moines as a community as a whole, that this show does too, is it's that accessibility. Is that ability to have a conversation, to see the stuff, to ask questions. You know, Des Moines has always been that way, I felt. I felt like we've always been able to celebrate or really put a spotlight on people's talents. And so, yeah, Ron is the same way. And Ron has got a number of pieces around town and is that kind of local artist fixture, you know, which is great.
And he's a joy to see at your show because he's fun to talk with. He still does great commissions. They're still relatively affordable, you know, in terms, you know, commission price goes. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting another piece from him.
Oh, yeah. No, he's so fun. He's so funny. He's so self-deprecating sometimes, too. He's like, oh, nobody wants to see the old-timey, cartoony guy, you know. And it's like, no, you got to be kidding me. You know, and no joke, when I first met him here in town, I had access to talk to him. And so, I mean, it took me a while to get over it because this guy, he's the first guy to draw a raptor. But like he did some of those great issues in like, was it 86, 87, 88, and some great covers as well.
He's one of the best on the line.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those influential ones that I do. I mean, like, I point back and I look at his books because I was trying to emulate him. I was really, really hard trying to draw like him. Years later, I'm out drinking with him, hanging out with him, and I'm like, Ron, you're my hero. Like, I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to make you feel embarrassed, but, like, how many times did I go through and flip through your comic books that you did? And then when he did, what was it, the third annual, the silent annual, I think it was it Storm Shadow and Scarlet break into the Cobra Tower in New York City. And he drew that. And then, like, you know, he did that Nth Man thing with Larry. And, you know, that's not even talking about Ghost Rider, Batman, Daredevil. I'm glad he's a friend. I'm glad, you know, like, I can call him up anytime and hang out with him. And it's really weird when he asks me for advice on stuff. Like, I'm like, I don't know, man. You're the master. I don't know anything. he's super, super friendly, super nice. And he does genuinely loves the Joe fans and stuff like that. And he's always amazed at how well everybody remembers what he does because he doesn't remember that stuff very well.
So the last time I saw him, that's what he told me when I was asking for commission. He was like, just, I don't know this as well as you do. I don't remember any of these people. And I'm like, all right, well. And then he draws a perfect. And I'm like, okay, man.
It's kind of muscle memory, I think.
Sure.
I don't think it's, yeah, you know. But no, he knows those characters. And he's got some of his favorite ones. I think he gets a kick out of drawing like Outback and like Stalker and Shipwreck and stuff like that.
My Joe sketchbook is in the hands of John and Troy right now.
Ah, good.
And the only request I made to them was that it needs to be done by AR because I wanted to hand it to Ron if he was going to be here and see if he'll do a page. I'll pay full 11x17 prices. I don't care. Just whatever it takes. Just put a page in the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. And Ron has a page in that book.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun year. And for people who haven't been to Des Moines, everything you were just saying about the accessibility in the community, Des Moines is a beautiful city. There's tons of art installations and art parks around town. Where the show happens is within a mile or two walk of a number of great places to eat and hang out and do things. It is November, so, you know, it might be a little chilly, bring a sweater. But also, when the sun's out, it feels great. it's worth the trip, even if you're bringing your family. There's shit to do outside of this if they don't want to walk around a Joe show. I think if you don't come to this, you're sleeping on a heavy show and in a really neat town. And if you do happen to drive in or have a buddy with a car or rent a car, there's a bunch of good comic shops in town, a bunch of good video game shops in town, a bunch of good toy shops in town. Some great places to run around and shop, not just eat or art.
Yes. Jay, CD and Hobby, I'll give him a shout since he kind of helps us. He's helped us out a lot in the past years and stuff. And I heard that we've got a new toy store, Lego store, Lego shop that just opened up last week. I got to go explore that one and check it out. But then there's like also it's the same weekend as the flea market down at the fairgrounds. And there's just like a little bit of everything going on. It's going to be a great kind of time.
Looking at the store, I mentioned that there was a customizing class. The store mentions that it's Kobe, which is AVAX Lab, which AVAX Lab, one, always brings a ton of really cool custom stuff if you like to customize your figures beyond the LBC. He has also brought some amazing dioramas and vehicles that he's built in the past. And this year, he's running a customs class. Now, I've talked to J.E. Russell about why I don't ever sign up for custom classes. And yet, here I am. The minute you put it online, I absolutely signed up for this.
Again, you were number one on the sign up list, which I think has happened a couple times now.
I'm hungry.
No, it's awesome. It's great. One of the things I wanted out of a customs class for myself personally is I didn't want to paint eyeballs.
Fair.
That's always the worst. That's always like the thing that everybody struggles over. I mean, I love doing customs. I love doing custom figures. But man, I don't have the 16 hours of patience to paint eyeballs at a show. Nor usually is the lighting good enough or my eyesight, or I might be a little hungover. But so we made sure that this time around, no painting eyeballs. We've got a build that is a vehicle build. It's a unique build. It is a very hands-on-y build. So it's not just like glue a couple pieces on and you're done. This is a little involved, plenty of assistance. We provide all the parts. You bring the core, the shell. Anybody who signs up, we'll send out an email a couple weeks ahead of time telling you exactly what you need to bring.
Perfect.
We get to see the master vehicle builder at work and build this beautiful creation. It's amazing. It's just simply amazing. There is a couple bonuses we're throwing in there. Again, we'll let you know what those are for those who sign up, and you'll get all the information a couple weeks before the show, so you know everything you're getting. We're going to have a sticker sheet with it. We're doing a custom blueprint for it. Everybody who participates will get a quote-unquote unit badge for participating in the first customs class, so it'll probably be something, another sticker. I love making stickers.
I love stickers. I always have your sets.
So this will be available for those who take the class only. It's a little bit different. And that's what I want to continue to do is to make sure that it's something. Oh, skill levels. It's for everybody's skill level. You get out as much as you put into it. There's a way to cheat if you're not a very good painter. We made sure of that, too. But like, yeah, again, want to have fun customizing. I like to customize. I like to break things apart, put things back together. But at a certain point, sometimes it gets frustrating when it's not turning out as, you know, well-crafted as you would like it to be. And so we want to make sure that, you know, this is something you can do if you're, you know, 10 years old. This is something you do if you're 50 years old.
Perfect.
If your hands still work, if your eyes still work.
We've got a couple friends, Don and Chris, that are big customizers. I'll have to get them to come out. We'll have to use this to entice them. I'm excited by this. This is one of those things that, you know, I don't ever take a custom class because I'm always too busy drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I'm going to be drawing with is going to be in this class anyway. And it's a vehicle and it's Kobe and I'm taking the shot. I'm taking the chance. What else can we talk about with this show that's not just me gushing over my favorite parts?
So with the new venue and with the way things worked out, we're now going to be able to do a Friday preview night of the show floor.
That's new.
So that is new. It is a paid preview night.
Well, that paid is not that expensive, one. And Saturday is free. So what the hell? Like, throw in for the Friday night, pay a little extra, and fund the show.
Well, and honestly, it's another $5 if you're already going for the dinner. So to go get the free show or to get in the show early. So it's kind of, yeah, it really is a no-brainer. But if you just want to come up early and do get a bonus the first two and a half hours of shopping in, it's $15 at the door. Come back on Saturday. Everything's free. Have a bowl of cereal. If you want to, you want to try to make up that $15, you could eat like, you know, like four bowls of cereal and a donut.
That's true. You're probably going to want to have an insulin shot after that, but sure.
Maybe.
$15 for a preview show or $15 for the weekend if you buy the preview show and show up, or Saturday, I guess. I mean, that's the price of a local one-day comic show. You don't get toy shows that cheap. I mean, that's not even talking about the freeness of Saturday. Just $15 for the Friday preview. I mean, it's going to be worth it. And you're going to pay more than that for any other show you go to.
Correct. Well, and again, we're very conscious. Like I said, this is not a job. This is not a money-making adventure for me. This is a I don't want to lose my ass kind of place. I don't want to have to pay a lot out of pocket. I want to be able to, you know, break even. If we got a little extra money, we get a better grand prize for the next year. It's one of those types of things. And so the venue costs twice, maybe three times as much as last year. It's just pure, simple economics. Things cost more this year. You know, like the price for dinner went up. We're keeping it relatively the same, but, you know, we're just not. It's not my job. I'm not trying to make 50% markup on everything for anybody. You know, I'm just trying to have enough that we can, you know, maybe next year fly Ron and somebody else out, you know, like that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
we want to keep that in mind. And I also, you know, again, conscious of everybody's budget. I'm just conscious of what people got to spend or what they want to spend their money on. And yeah, dinner, $40. That's not a cheap dinner. It's not a super expensive dinner either, but, you know, it's a fun dinner. It's a fun time.
In today's market, I mean, you can't take your one kid out for that much. So, yeah, it's affordable.
Not to mention the bonus surprises we come up with for the dinner attendees, too. So,
which, yes, are always fun.
I believe we mentioned it on the website, right?
You do indeed.
Yes. Yojo Cola 6-pack, play accessory and sticker and koozie and... So, yeah, we're doing a whole little, like, much like we did the Breaker Gum last year for the 6-inch, mm-hmm. We're doing a 6-pack of classified size cans.
Which I noticed the Breaker Gum from a few years ago, the Steel Brigade, some of these items are still on the store.
Yeah.
They're a few years old now, so I assume those are very limited. And as someone who has them, I recommend people buy them.
We're going to do a Cobra Commander poster that's exclusive just for the dinner people. I guess that's the other thing is to talk a little bit about the limitations of dinner. We're open for 55 people for dinner. So it's not everybody can come. And I can pretty much guarantee you this year, there's not going to be walking up and buying any of them. Yeah, I'm assuming we'll be probably sold out in by the end of the month for sure. So yeah, if you are coming, you want to have that dinner, and this is a group dinner. This is a buffet, really great place, Buzzard Billy's. We had brunch there last year, and this year we made it our dinner destinations. It's a great time. I worked with these property owners a lot, yeah, as far as in professional setting and stuff. And so these guys are great guys with just great food and stuff. So I'm really excited about having that. And Travis and I talk all the time, and we always are throwing out like ridiculous ideas at each other, and we just keep adding things, you know, beyond reason, adding things to the production schedule. So
that's your guys' toxic couple trait, is adding more than you should to the to the schedule.
Yes, I mean, we'll tell each other no, like right away, like no. And then like 2 days later, it'll be like, you know, that idea you had, that sounded pretty good. Let's do that. It's like, all right, let's do that. Let's go do that. So, yeah. So for Friday's things, you can buy any combination of package and get discounts as you add more stuff to it. So there is the all in, which gets you the dinner, the early access, the customs class, and the gear kits. Or you could just do the Friday engagement, which is the customs class, the early, and the dinner. Or you could just do the Friday night, which is the dinner and the customs class. Or you can pick a la carte those things as well, including the gear kits. Unlike past years, I don't think we're going to limit our gear kits to a number right now. I think what we're going to do is we're going to just limit them to a time frame. We're going to make them to as many as we order. You know, it's going to be, it's a diorama again this year. It is a pit inspired diorama.
Not your first pit inspired diorama.
No. And third? It's this weird thing where like third, we're, you know, trying to maybe hopefully build this out into being like an actual like giant playset someday.
So as someone who has your dioramas and given your dioramas to a child to play with, even though they're cardboard, they're designed and put together well with a little bit of shipping tape instead of Scotch tape. They hold together just fine. He just turned 11, so 9 is when he got the first dio.
Right.
Which was the computer console. And then he got the motor pool part, like a little garage with a little overseeing area. And then also last year you did a rooftop with a water tower that may or may not be ninja themed. All three of them are still together. All three of them have seen active play.
That's awesome.
And by active play, I mean, he's hung rope ladders off of the second story of the garage. He is laden them down with figures. Battles have happened.
Nice.
You know, the one thing I did have to ask him is not to open up and put figures inside the tool chest.
Oh.
The dioramas are cardboard, but they are really well designed and they are playable, which, you know, to me is the standard.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want them to just be mere backdrops or let them sit in the box. I want, I have mine set up. I like using them. And I like having them around. I can tell you I'm modifying the construction of this new one a little more to see if I can add more rigidity to it, make it even stronger, because this one is scale-wise on par with the motor pool, maybe dimension length-wise, maybe a little different, but it's got real estate to it. And we're trying to give everybody some real estate to set up their figures and poses and stuff like that. And
amazing,
have interesting things going on there. I was a kid who loved the playsets, who loved the headquarters, the original headquarters. And I just wanted more of it. And so trying to give everybody more of it and give stuff.
The gear kit is different than armor. So last year you only mailed out for people that didn't show up. Are you doing that again where you show up, you get your gear kit, and then after the show is said and done, you'll mail out?
I think so, but we're just kind of limiting it to, we're going to see how production goes, how many we get ordered up ahead of time, because obviously there's certain things that are the scale of economy that comes from this stuff. Without having a t-shirt in this one, this is probably the major change between them all. T-shirts were always like the sticking point. We're really like the hard point in determining cost and how quickly we could turn things around, add or subtract to our order. And, just given the state of everything right now, we figured that was probably the best and easiest thing to cut out and still keep it a reasonable price.
Sure.
Because like I said, we're trying to be really conscious of how much we're charging for things. Yes, obviously, we want to make money to cover our expenses. We want to get our creativity out and everything. But again, we're not interested in having you guys drop $2,500 before you step on the plane. We want everybody to come out and enjoy it. I mean, again, that's kind of why we say Saturdays are, you know, that's why Saturdays are free. That's why we are trying to do this, is because this is, shouldn't really feel pressured into buying a bunch of stuff just to have it.
We are collectors, though.
We are collectors. You know, I mean, I got that collector's mentality in how we put things together. I mean, you know, we're talking about the stickers. We're talking about calendar, the cell pop style card box. that we're doing, like just that kind of stuff. So the weapons that we're doing this year, teaming up with Mark II Designs on developing our weapons pack, which I think this is setting our whole new level to how we're going to be doing things going forward. Both doing a 6-inch version of it and then a scaled. When I say scaled down, I don't mean just smaller. I mean like we're a few fewer items for the 4-inch fans out there. This is a really interesting balance going between the 6-inch collector and the 4-inch collector, or the classic O-ring collector. That backdrop is meant for the 4 to 3 3 3/4 inch collector, but then we beef up our 6-inch accessories that you get. But now we're doing a backdrop for 6-inch as well, and so that we're going to give you some accessories for the other side of it. We're just trying to make it, you know, we're trying to please everybody or as many people as we can. But
everybody's invited to the table,
right? Exactly. It. We're collectors of both scales. You know, of the vintage, modern, new, modern, O-ring, retro, whatever they are anymore. But yeah, we collect them. So we want to have stuff for it. And we are making stuff that we wish we had.
That's what I've always seen from you guys as I've started going to your shows. And the way you guys do highlight and support the other creatives in the area, you know, it seems to be a good jumping off point or groundswell point for a lot of these creatives like Longbow and Ragin and Ben and et cetera.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so much of this is based on creativity. I mean, so much of this is based on your imagination. And so I think it's only natural that we are getting, you know, the customizers started the ball rolling, but now you're getting people as we get older and we start getting more money. We start investing in bigger endeavors. And so that's what we're seeing happen. And, you know, who wouldn't want to make their own 3 3/4 inch toys, right? Like their own O-ring figures. Like, why wouldn't you do that? The only thing stopping you is probably time and money, right? And so those lucky people who've got more of both or more of one, you know, are doing it.
You normally do like a 2-set of figures. Generally, the box is a very beautiful and fun creative thing, and then you use a combination of some custom stuff and some Marauder stuff. Where are you on that planning? Is that still a thing?
The quick answer is no figures this year. Again, last year was a bit of a bear to get everything pulled together, and so we just decided we're just going to pause this year and give it a little time to catch up. You know, we're trying to think of like, yeah, we love the figures. We love putting them together. In fact, I'm sitting here staring at one of the prototype figures right now that I found on my desk when I was cleaning out. It's a lot of fun for us, but unfortunately, we just knew about everything going on. And it just was like, oh, we're going to take a break from it for this year. We'll reevaluate for next year. But no, we love doing it. If you want to spend money, we've got last year's, and I think we got the year before set still. So there's still a few sets out there of stuff we have from previous years.
So as a customer and a fan of the stuff that you've done, I mean, I would much rather have it be like a let's hit pause and wait until there's better options. You always had stuff in the mix with all the sets I can remember. There was always enough included that you can't order this. You can't just put this together yourself and just be out of the card back. It kind of reflects into what Jason was, you know, throwing the praise at you earlier with all of the visual aids for every single AR event I've ever seen in the over 6-7 years I've been lurking in the shadows has always just been top tier. So your packaging for these figures has always been very creative, very fun. They stand out.
Thank you. And it is one of those things where I personally want to be proud of this stuff because it is. I mean, again, it comes from my training and what I do for a day job is that presentation counts a lot. And we're collectors too, and we put ourselves through the same scrutiny other collectors do too. And you know, I'm always like, hey, no, we can't just do this. We need to figure out how do we make it unique. What's the 3 or 4 bits that are either impossible to find or that are custom made to make sure that this is a unique piece that, yes, you're right. Like, you just can't go to Marauders and just fill up your cart and have three of them duplicates sent to you. Each one of these is taken on some kind of different touch to it and feel. And for the longest time, like a couple of the guys had been trying to talk me into doing figures. And I told them I wouldn't do any figure unless it looked production quality. First couple of years, people were coming up with ideas and wanted to do things. And I'm like, nope, not going to go out and buy 35 figures off the shelf and paint them up and put them in a different box. We are not doing that. We are not going to just like, figure out what the simplest solution is for this. I mean, it is hard. Travis, is like, oh, great. You can put the perfection hat back on. And it's like, well, yeah, of course. Like, really, yeah, a lot of quality control and a lot of pride goes into this because this is what everybody talks about. This is the things that people remember. These are the things, these are the souvenirs they keep. So
that was always something that I kind of look at in life a lot, even outside of collecting, where it's like, you know, if you can't do something right, just pause and do it when you can. Sometimes a great piece of art or whatever you want to call it needs a little bit more time before you're just tossing it out there.
Well, and even just understanding production timelines, production value is critical for doing that stuff, or just knowing where to go get to the right place to go get stuff produced.
Are you guys still doing the raffles this year? I know last year there was a coloring contest. There were some other games involved. I've also seen in years past, there was like a word find or a search hunt that you had to go around to different vendors to complete. There's a whole lot of things that go into this that we're not even really kind of going over because we're so focused on like how great it is to shop here or eat and hang out and go to the bar. And all of that is true. And when the show floor is open, you have all these other things that are really, as you said, keep people interested, even if they're 50 years old, 10 years old, a collector, or being drug along by a collector.
Yeah, we try to be equal parts shopping opportunity and entertainment. So we got a good focus on the kids. The kids come in. They get what looks like the pack-in that you used to get with your toys, with your vehicles.
How amazing.
And inside of that is a number of puzzles. Now, not every puzzle in there is meant for the kids. There are sometimes we put things in there that are hard that are expected for the adults to sit there with their child to figure out just to test their Joe knowledge, too. So we make it so that it's not just something you throw at your kid and say, here you go. This is something where you can sit down and matching some of the word scrambles, figuring out code names. There's a little sophisticated stuff in there. But the big linchpin for that is the kids have to go around and ask eight vendors or eight people on the show floor G.I. Joe related questions to collect their battle ribbons. Once they've completed the tasks in hand in that piece, they bring it back to the registration table. They get verified, check, make sure they got enough ribbons on there, make sure they filled out their name, they put their code name in there, we got that stuff taken care of, and we give them their prize package. We give them their recruit kit is what we call it. And it is sometimes it is a box with some action figures, comic book stickers, toys, basically load them down with a bunch of fun stuff to keep them busy. Other times, we're handing them whole vehicles. Last year, we gave everybody an Austriker, one of the retro Austrikers. In years past, we've given them his tanks. We've given them sets of three figures and stuff like that before. So basically, we have something there for the kids to come out and interact and enjoy. So they're not as bored while the adults are looking at their toys. So the kids get their own kind of stuff. And we've heard from other people. We've heard from people that like, wow, my kid can't stop playing with this stuff. This box is awesome. They love the idea that they got their own little treasure box and all that kind of stuff. And so those are the great stories we love to hear. Some of the other things we got going on, like you said, the raffles. That's how we help cover the lack of an entry fee.
Okay.
All our vendors, our friends, and everybody else. Like, I mean, it's just massive. Like, the stuff that shows up and the really cool things that people put on the table. And so much so that we're trying to be a little better with our timing of it and everything like that and what we give out. So we're still working on that because we do love to give this stuff out.
I've seen some incredible things at the raffles, and not incredible necessarily as in like, oh, big ticket item, but just as in neat customs.
Oh, yeah.
Weird things you don't see every day as a collector. You know, not just, oh, here's an expensive figure, but rather like, here's an oddity.
Yeah, some of the fringe toys that you wouldn't necessarily buy yourself show up on that table, too.
Yeah, some really neat things.
And also some of the real cool thing about the raffle is you see the generosity. Either people who've won a couple, three, too many times, they will say, nope, go on. This is the winning ticket, but draw again. They still can't get over this one. The year that the Alley Viper first came out in Modern, single card, an entire case of Alley Vipers showed up on our table.
Wow.
The family that won it was like, hey, all the kids come up and grab one. So, and I remember at the time when those Alley Vipers came out, they were very scarce, very pricey little figures. And they're just like, nope, come on, kids, come in, everybody come grab one. You know, it was like, what, 12 to 18 a case or something like that. Like the generosity that comes through from this. And it's not like a lot of like, you know, really crazy, you know, there's some real high end collectibles. And then there's the grand prize. And the grand prize every year is something, you know, pretty interesting, pretty spectacular. You know, we've done full sets of carded figures based on the theme, or we've done a full loose set of figures based on the theme. Or one year we gave away a sealed contents whale, like, and that ticket you only get for attending. It's the only way you get a grand prize ticket is if you attend. So it's not like you can go and try to load up the box to win one of those vintage prizes or something like that. You come through, you check in, you get your one ticket, and you have to stay till you come back at the end or stay till the end.
Sounds amazing. And because that ticket price goes to helping the show continue, I'm all in.
Cool. Thank you.
I know the Finest is there every year. It's the Tigerhawks, right?
Yes, out of Kansas City area.
The Tigerhawks are fantastic, fantastic people.
They are some of the most energetic, enthusiastic people I've met for the show. Ever since that first year they came up, they're like, we are coming back every year no matter what. And they've come through every time. And it is so awesome because they bring so much more life to the show. They get people involved. They always bring some kind of cool setup that is, you know, attracts photos and stuff like.
And they dress for your theme.
They dress for the theme, which is awesome. It is really cool. Like, I mean, like, can't say enough about that whole crew. And there are somebody, I just have to tell them the dates and I know they'll be coming. They're solid, dependable, great, great outfit. Yeah, I mean, the Finest in general are, you know, they're one wonderful, wonderful organization, great people. But like these guys, I feel like these are the top of the top. So I'm super excited. I told them this year, space is not quite exactly unlimited, but the space is available for them to do anything crazy they like to do. And we welcome that. So
they've done some crazy stuff.
Well, they brought a watchtower. They brought a life-size watchtower one year, which is like the coolest thing ever. And the best part is it was stable. Like you could walk in it, you can get up on it. Like it was, whoa, that was amazing.
The first time I met them was in Kansas City at Planet Comic Con. They had the watchtower and I didn't know them at the time. So I don't remember the gentleman who does Sergeant Slaughter, but Kate was also a Sergeant Slaughter. And so I walked up on a dude bigger than me as Sergeant Slaughter, and then Kate with a big thick mustache on her face as Sergeant Slaughter, and the watchtower, and they had a scrap iron missile launcher that could move, and just they had the ammo dump, the bivouac. It was just fantastic at Joe Con and Joe Fest, and now at AR, and I tend to run into them, and it's always a pleasurable experience. Last year, speaking of dressing to the theme, last year they built the weapon holder that came with Snake Eyes 00 classified, which was fantastic. They really go out of their way to embody the hobby in general, but also to really honor your show as well.
Oh yeah, they're an integral part of the show. Yeah. That which also, yeah, brings me to classified to D-class. No, not classified, D-class. I mean, we talked earlier about the panel that they do, but the display they bring, the artwork, the knowledge, the fun. I mean, those guys too, they get into it. They're just enjoying themselves. And it's one of those things where it was early on that Gary Goggles, he was a big supporter of us right from the get-go and really started rallying community around us, you know, and he was such a just dear friend to the show, dear friend to so many of us. I'm glad that we still, like, these guys are carrying it on. Like, they're still doing it. Chris Murray is, you know, I just talked to him a couple days ago about the show and getting ready for it and stuff. And he's just, it's wonderful to have that knowledge base, that keeper of the knowledge, to have them come out and share it and show it off instead of having all these beautiful artifacts that they're hoarding and keeping behind closed doors for themselves. No, they bring them out in the public and let people know and see and understand where these ideas came from.
If you've ever seen a D-Class booth, it's just incredible.
The rarities, the oddities.
Well, not just that, but let's say you've seen them at a different show. You show up at AR, it's a different booth. They have so much knowledge and artifacts that they can show up completely unique. So last year, they brought a lot of the Ninja Force stuff. They had a great Ninja Force panel. I look forward to how they interpret your 40 years of G.I. Joe theme and the actual 40-year anniversary of A-Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're going to have Saturday morning cartoons. I know we're going to have Kobe's doing a custom class. I know D-Class is going to do something. But what other panels are you doing that are...
That is a really good question. There is so much potential content out there. We're still talking to people to see, and everybody's being very gracious. We are not quite ready to announce yet to say who all we have and how we're doing it. But there's definitely going to be three panels on Saturday, knowing one of them is going to be D-Class. There might be some other surprises in there, you know. Something else that we got going on the show floor this year. A friend of mine, local couple who... started doing like RPG, more elaborate board games. They're coming in and they're going to be demoing the Renegade games for us.
Oh, well, you have my attention.
They will be holding like 20-minute little micro tournaments and walkthroughs of the games. So, yeah, we're talking to or getting. I'm trying to work with Renegade to see about any additional product or any additional support they can give us. But at least what we did is took the initiative, bought some games, going to be setting them up and going to be having somebody run through them. And, you know, for those who are familiar with it, have at it, have fun. Those who want to learn, you can learn all you want. Like, they'll teach you and get you introduced into the gaming world of G.I. Joe and Renegade Games.
Do we need to bring a few of our books to...
If you want to have the upper hand, maybe. If not, we'll have some books on hand to, you know, to peruse and stuff like that. I think we talked about making some cheat sheets and things like that for the show so that people have some notes to take home. And
beautiful.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not a hardcore gamer. I haven't been for a long time, and so I've bought all the Renegade Joe games and stuff like that, and I'm just looking forward to getting down and seeing how it goes.
Gaming fell out of the center of my Venn diagram, but is certainly on the Venn diagram. So I have all the books. I helped a buddy make a character yesterday, but I haven't sat down to play. So I would happily dedicate, you know, a good 20 minutes to one of their sessions, or hell, even more if it was like that. Keeping it to 20 minutes means they can get more and more people at the table, which is lovely.
So we know we're going to have them Friday for the showroom floor, but we're going to see if we have any extra time that they might be able to hang out with us a little bit more.
Who would they be considered, more of like a panel room, or are they going to be one of the vendor spaces?
They are going to be one of the vendor spaces. So they will be having some product and some things to sell. So
perfect.
It'll not just be showing off. See if they can bring some stuff to sell you. That's for sure. Local small business that started up about a year before the pandemic. And so they survived through the pandemic. And we want to show them some love and support, too. So.
And they're showing you love and support through some Renegade situations.
Yeah, exactly.
This show is growing. You guys are in a space that can handle the growth. You guys have doubled or even double and a half from previous sizes in terms of vendor spaces. The cosplay community is already running at 110%. You know, the games, the raffles, the things for kids and adults to do, because I've seen more than one adult running around with the kids' games. The products you guys offer to help fund the show, the dinner, now adding a customizing class, bringing Ron Rudat in, which is incredible, and Ron Wagner in. So this is the show of two Rons. You know I love the show. You know I love your whole team. And I look forward to this all year. I messed up the first year I came by not bringing a sweater, but then like last year was unseasonably warm and I didn't need one. Des Moines is beautiful. And it's just made better the fact that, you know, there's a congregation of Joe people. Shit, man. I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know if there's anything we've missed, but I know I've gushed a lot. And so hopefully you'll still talk to me tomorrow instead of avoiding me.
No, we definitely did not cover everything, which is great because we want people to find surprises. There's other things to do. There's stuff that will be easy to find. There'll be some stuff that'll take a little hunting and pecking, but you're going to find it and it's going to be fun.
Aside from a legendary assembly required, and as you said, Codename Iowa is the umbrella that handles more than one thing. One thing I didn't see this summer, will we see an Armor 3 at all?
Absolutely. We just decided to take a little pause on that. Again, much like the action figures, it had a lot to do with the amount of money we would have to charge for certain things and investment. And again, there was just a lot of stuff going on in the world and the community that we just said, you know, let's just give it a little pause and we'll bring it back next year, bigger and better. I think we wanted to figure this out. We're looking at, you know, a couple format things and, but we have the theme, we have the content, we know what we're talking about and we know what we want to do. So planning is there and all that. So now we just need to do it. Look forward to some announcements on that. And hopefully in the near future, hopefully we'll have a timeline that is acceptable by AR time.
I look forward to that as well. But we're not here for Armor. Let's get through assembly required. And then when you're ready to announce Armor 3, you know I'm all in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
By the way, you guys have been yapping about 4-inch figures for 10 minutes.
What's wrong with that?
I don't collect 4-inch.
Is that all you collect is just your O-ring, or do you have classified too? I see you got a nice looking grunt right there.
I put him on an RC car and drive him around. And he still looks really nice.
Here's my closest O-ring to me.
Just a carded stalker?
That is a real deal. Unpunched from a Hasbro employee. Yeah, so I was pretty excited about this guy.
Good night, guys. I'm being forced to go to bed.
Good night. See ya.
All right, good night. We'll talk to you later.
This has been the Order of Battle.